Critical Hit, a Major Spoilers Dungeons & Dragons podcast. So glad that you could join us this week as we find out what happens to our adventurers. Adventurers? Wascally Wabbits are always getting into this house.
Wow.
As we find out what happens now that they've been captured by ghost pirates. Rodrigo, please tell us a story.
Okay. Well, first, do you mind turning my mic on?
Your mic is on.
Oh, okay. I can't hear myself.
We can all
check
hear
1, 2, 3. Well, yeah. If you can hear me, then that's fine.
Yep.
I couldn't hear myself.
Basically, that means you're the
one. I actually count that as a blessing when I can't hear myself.
Really? It's just
me. We count it as a blessing, too.
Yeah. Anyway. So, we'll pick up from... That's weird. That. Orym and Brenzen come to.
What?
You are in a big cage made of iron. You're outside.
Okay. Are we hanging from a tree or just on the ground?
No, just on the ground.
Okay.
Just a big standalone cage. Your weapons are gone. Anything about your armor that was easily removable is also gone. So both of your helmets are gone. As well as your footwear.
Man, people are always stealing my feet.
Again with the boots.
Indeed.
Does this mean Orym finally sees that Brenzen is a half-elf?
Yep.
Wait a minute. Are you part elf?
Does it matter?
Not at this point, considering that we're both in a cage and none of our friends are around.
Then let's say no.
Just wait 24 hours.
So even my wand is gone.
Yep. Your haversack is gone.
Oh, they got the haversack.
Yeah, we should probably get that back.
Nah.
We don't see Glaw or Randus anywhere?
Nope.
Oh, okay.
I rattle the cage.
Okay.
Still appears to be locked.
Yep.
Hey, you know, they're ghosts. What do they need for locks?
Oh my gosh.
Cage isn't it substantial, is it?
Yeah. Brinson, you look like a strong person. Can you do anything with this?
I can certainly try, but I make no guarantees. So, I look at it. What does it look like?
It's pretty sturdy. It's not enchanted, but there's a good chance that it was actually... I mean, it's iron that was probably actually mystically wrought. Which would make it just, you know, really, really strong iron. There's nothing outwardly magical about it, but you're not going to be able to just, you know, hulk your way out of these. The vulnerable spot is probably the lock, but...
Amulets are gone, all of that stuff is...
Yep, anything that would have been easily removed, so... Brenzen's cloak is gone as well.
Do I have my secret hidden weapon that I keep in my bracer?
Yes. Your awesome hand.
Man. Somebody needs to take a level in thief.
You do see some ghostly silhouettes moving around sort of off over there.
Okay.
Well, we better find out who our jailers are.
Obviously, we need to find the mushroom that turns us into a ghost so that we can... No, wait. Ah, crap. You there, ghost!
One of the ghosts stops, looks over, walks over to you. Yeah, what do you want?
I said, you got any glazed donuts?
No, we're out of glazed donuts. Anyway,
yes, I demand to know the name of our captor.
Ah, yes. You have been captured by Captain Beauregard and his merry crew.
You don't look very merry.
Well, it's just a name.
Does the name
look
ring
more like Tom, Dick, or Harry?
Go ahead and give me a history check.
Both of us?
Yeah, sure. Steve is like, me too? One. And you botched it.
I don't remember reading about pirates in college.
So. Nope. You were strictly in the ninja camp.
Yep.
Which is why he's like so the ninja stealthy. Pirate zombie robots.
What'd you get?
17.
Yeah, it sounds familiar. It's like, you know, he's one of those guys that you know from hearing his name that he's a pirate, but you don't know what he's famous for.
And a bluff.
Okay.
Should I know that name?
And what are you trying to accomplish with this?
Is that a bluff?
I want to see if he'll tell me what's some information I can use and stuff.
Okay.
I'm in a Scooby-Doo episode. I'm working here.
All right. Well, it largely just makes him scowl at you. Yeah, you should know that name. This crew is the meanest crew that ever sailed the seas of the Astral Sea.
And what was it that you sought on the Astral Sea?
Well, you know, treasure and magic things that we could trade in for treasure.
Booty.
And what if I knew where there was a magic thing that you could trade in for treasure?
Oh, we need nothing more.
Are you
what
sure?
What if I knew where there was a magic thing that you could use to make your captain the most powerful captain of all captains in the zombie Astral Sea?
Oh, the captain doesn't need that. The captain already has an immense source of power.
Oh, really? Prove it.
Fine. I'll go tell him to come over here and show you.
This isn't supposed to work.
It's so hard to find good help these days.
You see the guy just like sprint out back towards what is probably their camp.
If this works, it's going to be incredible.
All right, we'll cut away.
I've always believed if you're going to die, die big.
So, Gla and Randus.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Similarly stripped of magic items and weaponry.
Yep.
Have been brought to a camp, which is in serious disrepair, which none of the inhabitants, who are all dead, seem to care about. It is very much the shambles of what was probably a temporary shelter to begin with. There are signs that it is, you know, to some degree being kept up, in that they still want the houses to sort of look like houses. But other than that, you would imagine that nobody's been here in a long time, except for the fact that they are, but they're ghosts. There are probably about 200 ghosts milling around here. You are brought to a central square, sort of like the town square of this little hamlet, although not to the very center of it, and just sort of off in the edge of it, a fairly large ghost with kind of two dreadlocky looking beard strands just sort of coming down on either side, very matted and not very attractive looking, walks over to you. He's got a little second-in-command ghost walking with him. He walks over and says, "Ah, who be these?" Hello. And the other two guys say, "We caught them in the beach. They're probably here after our treasure." And he just looks at, like, he just glares at the guy who just said that. He's like, anyway, we caught them on the beach. Who are you?
Hello, I would be Rens Duthain from the Layman's Initiative.
The what now?
We're part of an organization that's helping to try to resolve the crisis with the Void currently assaulting the Astral
City. The what now?
There's an incursion happening from the Void, which are...
You're damn right there's an incursion on my island.
Well, if you can assist us in finding what we're looking for, we'll be on our way happily.
Oh, I think you found something all right. Trouble, that's what you found.
We're pretty good at that.
Yes. You hear some rustling as over there from the woods. This ghost runs through, walks over to him, and he's like, "Hey, boss! Those guys in the cage don't believe that you have the twin perfect stars!"
This shouldn't have worked!
And he basically turns over to him, opens his mouth, keeps opening his mouth, and keeps opening his mouth until it's basically from his nose all the way down to his belt, and the guy just atomizes into necrotic energy and flies into his mouth, and he just closes it. Swallows.
Nom, nom, nom. I'm just going to give a sidelong glance to Randus. Yeah. Nothing that they're going to notice, but just kind of... Yeah?
Well... I take it the compatriots in the cage, or the people you have in the cage, would be our compatriots.
He looks over at one of his men, nods. I believe so.
Sounds like they're shenanigans.
Really kind of sounds like Ket's shenanigans, weirdly. Yes. Yeah.
Ket's been rubbing off on Orm.
Yep. But not in that slash fiction way that everybody keeps writing about.
I was trying to avoid that image.
Seriously, guys, stop sending us those.
Although the ones with Missy and Val Belbina, never mind.
So, you have two options.
Mm-hmm.
You can join our merry crew, or you can die. Wait. You can die and join our merry crew, or die and get eaten like I just ate that guy.
Well, that went my first question.
What if we don't like those options?
Well, let me put it to you this way. Too bad. How do you like that option, fish boy?
Thoughts?
I don't like that option. It's not really an option, though, is it? That's more of a statement.
Yeah, well, I got a statement for you. Shut up! Was that a statement?
What?
That was a command, actually.
I don't even know.
That was more of a command than a statement.
Commands are statements.
No. No, they're not. They're two different things.
I'm just stepping back.
All right.
A statement is like, that's a tree. A command is, go touch that tree. See? Two different things.
Well, now that you mention it, I think you're right. So, your friend has chosen. Are you going to join us?
What did I choose?
I'd rather not.
So, Ethan, then?
I'm not a fan of either of those options. I'd rather to stay alive. Is there no way I could serve you in a living capacity?
Well, one thing that we've discovered while we've been here, and he puts his foot up on a rock so that, he's doing a nice little pose, is that the flesh is weak, as you have no doubt experienced by being thoroughly trounced by my men. So...
I'm going to lift his hand up. He's like, clang, clang. That's not flesh.
Correct.
He's not that weak.
I think most of his body is still flesh. Ah.
He's less weak than I am.
Well, that doesn't really help us, does it? In any case, anything that you could do for us living, you could do as a ghost. If you were alive, you would only drag us behind. Of course, you could then never leave this island, but I'm not really giving you the option to.
Any particular reason why not?
Well, it's much harder for ghosts to do anything outside of this island. They have to spend a lot more resources.
Any reason why we can't just leave?
Why you can't just leave?
Yes.
Well, it would be very difficult to be a ghost anywhere else.
What if...
Why?
Can't we just leave our lives and flesh intact? Me and my...
No.
Why is it difficult to be a ghost anywhere else?
I'll tell you what. I'll let you find out on your own.
But I want to find out on my own.
Too bad. Cage. And they start dragging you towards a cage.
Okay.
Yep.
So we're the wrong pair to be put in a cage.
So, they drag you over and put you in a cage. Over there on that cage across the way, you see Brenzen and Orm.
Hey, guys.
Hi, Gla. The Randus went too?
Yep.
Oh, okay.
My arm turns into a big flipper.
Okay.
So, what's going on?
How far away are they?
Shouting distance.
Apparently. He wants to kill us. Or kill us.
The pirates are within shouting distance, or?
So my choice
just,
is
we're within shouting.
You guys are within shouting distance.
So,
did you explain to him about what's going on?
No.
He tried.
He apparently
the one time that it might have been useful to tell everyone our entire history. I can't do it with a straight face. I'm sorry. Never mind.
It has been confirmed he has the twin perfect stars.
He does. That somehow doesn't surprise me very much. These guys don't seem like the brightest lot.
Indeed.
Indeed!
If we could just trick enough of them to annoy the boss, and then they'd be the only one.
How do you trick 200 ghosts into annoying the boss?
Hey, you, come here. I bet you can't call your boss a schmuck.
Oh, yeah.
I like this plan.
Insult commandos.
Do you guys know where the twin perfect stars are? Did you see them?
No.
No, we did not.
The boss has them. Whether he has them on his person or in his quarters. I don't know. Do ghosts have quarters?
These ghosts are pretty solid.
Sure.
You haven't seen any of them disappear at all. They're all walking on solid ground, and plants and stuff move around when they walk.
I wonder what would happen if the ghosts opened up the haversack.
Best not think about it.
Well, I don't do cutscenes.
What if they opened up the haversack and they were able to actually leave the island because the Triskelion made it?
What if we only made them think that they could leave the island if they were holding onto the haversack?
I doubt that'd work.
So what you're saying is we're facing an enemy with a huge, mighty source of power, and we're going to trick him into having two huge, mighty sources of power.
I think he already has two mighty sources of power. I just don't think he knows it as of yet.
Yep.
What?
He doesn't know about things.
Yes.
Oh, my God. Oh, my Coraline.
There's a
no barbershop quartet.
There's probably a phrase that people who worship Coraline probably use at this point. It's probably something along the way of "by Coraline's beard," because he doesn't have
Coraline
one.
On a crutch.
By Melora's shells.
Thoughts, people.
Hey. hey, start rattling the cage. Hey!
Okay. Eventually, a couple ghosts show up.
Hey, where's your buddy go?
What buddy?
The one that was here earlier. He said he was going to go prove that your boss had great power. And show us the power source. He never came back. What kind of place is this?
He kind of just squints at you. What are you talking about?
Your guy was here earlier and said that your boss had great power, and we said prove it, and he ran off to prove it and never came back. What kind of cheap camp do you guys got going on here?
Well, I guess we don't spend a lot of money on it. Is that what you mean by cheap?
This place does look like it's run down for a bunch of pirates. I'd think you'd all have all sorts of fancy things going on.
Yeah. Yeah, you think we do.
Crocodile clock.
I mean, I bet you guys don't even have a tavern with winches in it.
Oh, we have a tavern, but nobody uses it because we don't drink anything.
you guys don't sound like any pirates that I've ever met.
Well, have you ever met ghost pirates before?
I've met plenty of ghost pirates on our travels.
Really? Who
yes.
was the captain of that ghost pirate ship?
Longbeard Jackson. He had a beard so long that it would frighten people away.
Yeah, now that you mention it, I think I have heard of Longbeard Jackson.
His camp was immaculate. Treasures as far as the eye could see. Man, if you could go visit his camp, you pirates could become the wealthiest pirates around. But I don't think your captain is wise enough or brave enough to think of something that big and bold.
No. The captain seems pretty content to stay here.
Pah. He doesn't know what he's missing. Am I right, Brinson?
Yes.
this is going to end poorly.
Well, your friends might be able to convince the captain to join us on an expedition later. Maybe we can find this Longbeard Jackson and take his booty.
I don't know. You guys don't seem like you'd be up for that kind of an adventure. If you guys are just wanting to stick around here all the time.
Well, it's not up to me. It's up to the boss. Maybe you can talk to him about it.
If he's willing to talk to us.
Well, that's up to him.
Fine.
Could you go ask him?
Ask him what?
If he'd come talk to us.
I don't want to go ask the boss anything. Last guy that walked up to him and asked him something stupid got eaten. That was just last week.
How long have we been in here?
5 minutes.
Pretty sure you got brought in today.
Okay.
This guy might not have been over
he
there.
He might not have been privy to that whole thing.
I'd like to meet your captain sometime. I bet he doesn't even compare to Longbeard Jackson.
Well, he's there at all the hangings, so you probably will get to meet him.
Excellent.
Speaking of, when are these hangings?
Oh, probably tomorrow afternoon.
So you'd say within 24 hours?
Yeah, I would say within 24 hours.
That won't work for me. I'm going to need you to reschedule for later in the afternoon.
Well, you'll have to take it up with the boss.
Could you get him for us?
Send him here.
Wait, no. Look, you're just going to have to wait, okay?
I'm going to roll my diplomacy.
Well, I don't know if we're going to be here later, so this might be your last chance. And I'd sure hate to anger your boss.
I'm pretty sure you won't be here later. In any case, if I was you guys, and he kind of points at Randus and Gla, and then makes a vague motion at Brinson, I'd say goodbye to your Eladrin now.
Bye, Orm. Why are we saying goodbye to Orm?
Is Orm the Eladrin?
Yes.
Oh. Well, Eladrin don't become ghosts, I don't think. So he'll just die.
Have you ever killed an Eladrin?
Yeah.
When was the last time you killed an Eladrin?
Oh, I don't know. Probably 150 years ago or so.
Oh, then you haven't heard.
What haven't we heard?
I don't think I can say anything more right now.
Thank God. And he just kind of scoots off.
Wow.
So are we being guarded?
Not really. Every once in a while, Ghost will walk through here, but you're not really being guarded.
Is it a regular occurrence, or is it kind of irregular pattern?
Oh, it's irregular. There's no real pattern to it. It just, like, you are not, like, you are outside the camp proper, but you are well within their borders that they're moving around and patrolling and taking stuff back and forward from. So, you know, guys pass through here all the time.
Hey, Randus, can you turn your arm into a key?
Turn my arm into a key.
Can you do something with all that metal?
I can look. Let me look at the locks.
But if I use my divine strength to rip the doors off?
There's nothing supernatural about the locks.
All right, can I rig up some picks and try to disable it to open it?
Sure.
Leave it up?
Yep.
Does Orm receive 26? Feedback from his unseen servants?
Your cage is open.
No ghosts coming?
Not right now.
All right.
Swift current.
Can I...
Okay.
Turn into water and I'm outside the cage.
All right, I guess we'll just go get the other guys.
Okay. You pop their lock as well.
Well, now what do we do, fellas?
We need our stuff back.
We need to get into the camp.
Do.
We need to get the stuff, and we need to get out.
And how exactly do you suppose or propose we do that?
You guys hear some skittering?
Quick, back in your cages.
Do we have to?
As you're kind of moving back towards your cages, out of the bushes comes Randus' assistant carrying a key ring.
Excellent.
Put some keys on it. Kind of looks around, sees that you guys are all outside the cages, and looks briefly kind of sad.
No, that's a very, very good job you did there.
He walks over and hands you the key ring. And then
does he know where the rest of our stuff is?
Yeah, so do you know which way our stuff is? Rip.
He gives you a location with, you know, additional information that it's too far away for him to get. It's too far away from you guys for him to go.
I see. I say we'll go.
Let's go get that stuff.
Should we? Okay.
Yes, we should.
Unless any of us actually at all capable of sneaking around?
Yes. I'm sneaky as heck.
Clang. Clang, clang.
Yeah, my stealth isn't very high. It's only 8.
They took all the parts of my armor that were easily removed, which means that everything left is well and truly, like, bolted down so it won't clang. So let's sneak.
What is your stealth? What is your stealth otherwise?
Sounds like a skill challenge to me.
Does it?
We're sneaking into camp looking for our stuff. Is that what we're doing?
Yep. Sounds like a failed skill challenge to me.
I like failed skill challenges.
Those are the fun ones.
Yep.
I'm just surprised.
Seeing how we sucked at combat, how much worse can we fail?
And obviously my bluff didn't work.
Someone hasn't been paying attention.
That was a bluff?
I was bluffing them to take us right to it.
Yeah, the last time I heard somebody bluff like that, Carrot Top was holding a propeller.
We'll use Orym for success. And as tempted as I am to use Randus for failure, we'll just use one of the ghost pirates that we use for the combat.
But
okay. Roll initiative.
I don't want
to. Don't just start with me again. Or also.
As well.
Yes, one of those.
Well, this whole initiative thing is apparently really good for me today.
Nice.
Which means the other rolls are going to be really awesome.
Are you factoring out the plus one for not having the helmet? Okay.
Gla.
23.
Randus.
24.
Crap.
And Brenzen.
Fitting.
about time you started rolling initiative like a defender. It is very important that I protect all my friends. After the enemy has taken two turns.
Six.
This is pretty much how I always roll as a defender.
That's pretty much how you roll.
It could be worse. I mean.
That's true. That bad initiative rolls are kind of my trademark nowadays.
Wow, I don't know if these creatures are meant to travel in packs. They're really powerful.
You honestly give me too much credit. I'm like, ghost pirates!
That's awesome!
I'll take six!
I don't even know what they are, and I like them!
Yep.
Wait, what?
And by the way, just now, without really even thinking about it, when I said I take six, I was holding up seven fingers.
I told you these pirates are very smart.
I think one hand was a five and the other one was throwing like some kind of like half-formed gang sign. So that's how excited I was about ghost pirates.
Half-formed gangs are the best ones.
Yep. Okay. So, the name of the skill challenge shall be the time when the guys try to get their stuff back from the ghost pirates.
As opposed to the time the guys tried to get their stuff back from whatever else we've been captured by.
Yeah.
Flaming, exploding, skeleton, forearm,
sword,
stabbers.
I think last time we were captured by street toughs.
Yep.
Well, yes.
Now you were just burgled.
You're a burgle.
Okay.
This is a burgle.
So. So. The point of the skill challenge is to get into the camp and get your stuff back without being recaptured. Keep that in mind as far as your descriptions.
Okay.
Orym.
I'm going to use ghost sound. I'm going to use my arcana to cast a ghost sound of some large menacing beast way off in the jungle, but sounds like it's approaching the camps to see if the pirates will scatter
towards us
and see if they'll go and attack or investigate.
1 second. What's the range on your ghost sound?
I don't think there is.
It's on the front.
10. Range of 10.
10 squares?
Yeah.
How many feet is that? 50 feet?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So 50 feet over in that direction.
Fine.
But it's, you know, it sounds like it's much further away than 50 feet.
Sure, sure.
Yeah.
Makes sense.
It's echoey.
Yeah, sure.
Really, he kind of needs to cast it into the center of the camp and I guess make it sound like it's far away.
Yeah.
Who knows?
I don't know.
Ooh, 14 plus 16 is a 30.
That's a success.
I've come to eat pirates.
All right. Randus.
All right. I think I'm just going to keep a lookout so that we can hopefully get forewarning to hide behind something if a ghost pirate stumbles through.
Okay.
Yay, that'll be a 23.
That's a success. La.
I don't wanna.
Too bad.
You have to.
You got us in this mess.
It's true, we did. I blame
Gla. It's all your fault.
I hate you all.
Poor Gla.
Dude, if Smith had been here, we would have zorched all those guys.
Yeah, including the rest of the party.
Yep.
Not the point. We wouldn't have a pirate.
The difference is everyone would be unconscious, not just the party.
Yes.
I'm going to athletics to get up into some of the trees. We're in a jungled area, right?
Yep.
See if we can't work our way across the trees to wherever we need to be going. Hey.
Nice.
27.
Nice. That's a success. All right. And Brenton.
Hi there. I'm going to use my... Wow, I have sucky stats across the board. Mm-hmm.
Welcome to Defenderville.
Hi, I'm a defender, and I can't do crap.
Well, let's see. I'm going to use my perception to peek out like Larry Storch and see if I can identify whether there are actual sentries or people just wandering around, and if so, how many of each whichever pirate ghosts there are.
Okay.
18.
That's a success.
Cool. How many do I see?
200.
There are definitely sentries. There aren't that many of them. It's pretty clear that these guys don't get attacked all that often. They're fairly relaxed, but there are people keeping a lookout. You know, just as you approach the camp, you see probably three, but three that could easily spot you if you're not careful.
Okay.
The ghost sound goes off. Some pirates get mobilized over there. Glides up in a tree, and Randus is keeping a lookout on the ground.
Yes.
Top of the round, Orym.
Would my history allow me to know, in a village of this type, where the cache might be?
Sure.
Okay, so I'm going to use history then, because I'm going to bet that that's where our stuff is.
Mm-hmm.
And we've got a 27.
That's a success.
Did Stephen just use history correctly?
I think so.
Nice.
Well, even a stopped clock is right twice a day.
You would imagine that it's probably pretty close to the center of town. Although these guys can tell you that there's a town square.
Mm-hmm.
So there's probably some kind of fairly secure building in the center of town.
Okay.
We should make our way there.
Randus.
So does this look like a place that would have had use in life?
Yeah.
Yeah. Would there be any sort of sewage or drainage system or that we could slink around in?
No. Nope. This is all jungle stuff, so they probably just threw that stuff in the river.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know.
Besides that, it'd be all full of ghostly poo gas and duty water.
I was going to say, if there are ghosts on the surface, you don't want to know what's in the sewers.
Moo.
What?
Exactly.
Bessie the Hell Cow is in the sewers?
I love Hell Cow.
I'm so confused.
We'll try sneaking our way through to the center of town.
Awesome.
Stealth it
up. Play cool.
Do you have stealth?
No. That's some stealth.
Why do you want us to fail?
Do it. Secure yourself.
No failures as of yet.
Secure your place in the pantheon of terrible ideas.
There is no try. There is only do.
Oh, boy. And I do not.
And you roll do.
11.
Okay. That is a failure.
Thanks, Brian.
So, as you guys are pretty much almost at the edge of the camp, Orym is telling you about, you know, there's probably this building and this building, and those of you that have actually been there are
so
like,
go
oh,
this
yeah.
way, right?
Yeah, it's
this
probably, way. I think I saw a building like that, and you're kind of trying to figure it out. Randa sees an opportunity to kind of sneak up and take a look, and basically runs right into a pirate. Gla.
Nature. Vines. Wrap him up. Shove him in his mouth. No noise. Yeah.
Wow.
<That's>, you can allow this?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
His 34. His yeah. power. If I let Steven use powers with Arcana, I gotta let him use powers with nature.
I guess
34,
so.
That's a success. In truth that I Brenzen.
Okay. So, we have a guy. He's tied up. Can we get past him?
Yeah.
We're leaving him tied up. How far to the building?
It's a straight shot, but it's pretty much across a fairly transited square.
How are these buildings? Are they all like...
There's buildings on the ground.
Are they sturdy or do they just look old, or do they look like they've collapsed?
They don't look like they've collapsed. They're all holding up just fine.
Okay.
They look like they might collapse.
Okay.
But most of them are down on the ground. A few of them are up on poles. You know what I'm talking about?
Yep. Yep, yep.
Flood poles.
Yep.
Interesting.
Yep. Interestingly, the older ones are up on poles, so they, you know. You could gather that there actually hasn't been a flood in a while, so some of the new buildings have been built down on the ground.
Could we climb up on top of them?
Yeah, sure.
That's what I was going to suggest.
I mean, Gly's presumably still up on a tree.
That's what I was going to suggest.
Dungeoneering to climb up on top of the building
and make my way across as though I were in a dungeon.
No, that would be athletics.
That's what I was going to use.
I'll do that.
Okay.
Schmuck.
My name's Rodrigo, and I like it.
23.
That's a success.
Excellent.
Full plate with no shoes, ladies and gentlemen. You're welcome.
All right, so Brenzen climbs up and basically gives you guys the now signal as you all basically sprint across the square, and somehow nobody manages to notice you, at which point I'm guessing Brenzen grabs a vine or something and swings in through the window.
That's the opposite of what we need.
Would it? Like Tarzan.
Yes,
of the
we have succeeded at sneaking past the ghosts.
And we shall call this the time we were sneaky.
Huzzah! Okay. All will hear about this adventure right now.
It started over there!
All right. You all find yourselves in probably one of the best kept buildings around here. There are all kinds of random things. Furniture, paintings.
They're ill boot and gaudy.
Yep, pretty much. All of this stuff seems to be at a quick glance, fairly worthless stuff. There's probably, like, this is either where they put stuff before they sort it, or where they put stuff that they don't want to sort. Like, stuff that isn't readily shiny. Off over there, and down a hallway on a table is what is clearly your stuff, as you recognize your handy haversack.
Aha. Rush to it.
Okay.
Grab it.
Okay.
All our stuff. Equip.
Okay.
Look around.
You guys spend some time opening menus and clicking on things.
Yes.
Check to make sure that the Triskelion is still in the haversack.
Reach in. Do I feel it?
Yep.
Pull it out real quick. Put it back in.
Okay.
What else is in here, in this room?
Oh, I should probably mention that all of the actual gold is gone.
There is no gold in this room. Oh, all of our gold is gone. Oh, okay.
Which makes sense.
Pirates. Stole all my gold.
Like a pirate. The magic pixie dust is still there.
Okay.
What else is in the room? Generally, crap. There's a couple ladders.
Like going down or up to some
place? No. Just like ladders. Like up against the wall. Yeah.
Okay. Well, there's only one other place that all this stuff could be.
Captain's
quarters.
Yay. Do ghosts have quarters?
We'll find out.
What about dimes and nickels?
Possibly wooden ones.
You were just asking for it.
Just a little bit, yeah.
Are we still skill challenging?
No, we succeeded.
No, we succeeded in that skills challenge.
So it's time for the next one.
I think it is time for the next one.
Oh, we all got an action point, though.
Yep.
How long has it been?
Well, you know what? It's been long enough that we realized that we got our stuff back, but now we have to go venture into the captain's quarters, which means it's time to answer some emails. This one from Jimmy. I know you guys receive so many emails from listeners and such, but I wanted to add my two cents also and thank you for having a really fun podcast. I started playing D&D back in 79 while serving in the Navy, and although I drifted away from it in recent years, it was great to find your site and feel that old passion again. Anyway, great podcast. Looking forward to learning 4th edition. Thanks from a 50-year-old. Let's see. I had a... Okay, I'm a girl. This is from Kim, who says, I'm a girl that has been really into D&D for about half a year now. My friends told me about Critical Hit. I'm on episode 51. This was only sent a little while ago, so she's probably just at this episode. I know I still have a long way to go, but the pods you have cast are amazing. Can't wait to hear more. My campaign is comprised. She's going to start GMing a campaign fairly soon. I could use some advice. My campaign is comprised of 7 of my friends. I know that 7 is a high number for a D&D campaign, but I can't kick out any of my friends without there being a lot of drama. We have all agreed to try really hard to make it work and have already made some progress in this endeavor. For starters, we agreed that there will be a group leader. Nice. And the group has to make a decision, such as where to go or what to do. They discuss it, and the leader will tell them the final decision. We've also decided to turn a turn system when talking to NPCs. When someone wants to start the conversation, they put up their d20 and mark it with a 1. When someone else wants to say something or ask the NPC a question, they put up their die and mark it 2, 3, 4, etc. While the system isn't infallible, I think it will help keep frustration to a minimum and make it more fun for everyone. Big thing I'm worried about is combat encounters. People tend to drift off and start side conversation, and when it's not their turn, and I'm not really sure how to handle it without constantly asking them to return to what's going on. I'm starting my campaign on May 17th.
Oh, we missed it.
Missed it by just a little bit. And even though I'm not caught up, if you answer my question, my friend will be listening to the latest pods you have cast and will let me know. Thank you for your help, help that you're able to offer. I think we've kind of talked on this a little bit before about large groups. Large Matthew groups especially. Because you used to do large groups all the time, right?
I think that there is a major misconception that large groups are a terrible idea, a bad idea, they're a game breaker.
Mm-hmm.
And while they certainly can be all of those things, I would say that you've got a handle on the hardest parts of it. You're putting together some sort of structure. Now, the group leader thing, I think, is a very good idea. The other part seems, to where you have an idea of the structure. The one thing I would say is know that people are going to drift in and out.
Mm-hmm.
And, I like to take Rodrigo's example in that we'll drift in and out and there'll be side conversations. There are times where Rodrigo will be talking to one of us and the others will be like, "And you've heard of and then a duck sandwich." And once we get to the end, Rodrigo's like, "Okay, we're all here now.
I'm hungry again."
Sometimes you'll just raise your voice or, you'll just say, "Okay, here's where we all are. We're all together." So I think you've got the hardest part. The main thing to remember is that a large group, just like a small group, has its positives and its negatives. Once you start seeing the negatives of your particular group, if you have two people who get sidetracked constantly, if you have one person who tries to dominate everything, then you're going to be able to work, with that specific group. You're going to be able to interact with them individually. And if somebody gives you trouble in a group that large, you're probably going to have to address it pretty quickly. And I would say, address it in the group. Don't be snotty. Don't be rude. Just say, "We can't really be doing this. We've got too many people," and move on. Drama is always going to be an issue.
And in combat's actually probably the best place for them to drift out a little bit. At D&D, combat is going to take friggin' ever. Yes, for frickin' ever.
Frackin', I'm sorry. I was getting
for frackin' ever?
I said frickin' this time. But, and the more people you add into it, the longer it's going to take. That's probably the best time for them to actually drift in and out. You can ask them to, pay enough attention that they'll be able to be prepared and think ahead so combat doesn't take too long, but don't expect them to pay attention to every individual's turn. Most people just don't have the attention span to actually do that.
Well, I'll say half the time when you guys are doing it, I'm trying to search through what's the next step that I would logically take while trying to try to know what's going on the periphery. So,
see, I had to give up on that because every time I do that, you guys will do it before I do, and then I have to rethink.
So. Yeah, yeah.
And that is an issue. You want to think about your turn ahead of time, but then conditions in the battlefield, especially with 7 people and a similar number of monsters, things are going to be moving around a lot. It's a good thing that you are thinking about this stuff, because that'll make it easier for you to develop strategies to deal with it. I think the NPC turn thing is a great idea. There are systems, not D&D, but there are other systems that have social combat. So that, you can take your turn at convincing the magistrate not to throw your friends in jail. As far as the combat, you are going to have to deal with that a little bit. I would suggest
bigger monsters.
Well, elites, but you can get into issues of the monsters being too big. I mean, these guys were level 9 and you guys were having issues with that. Because there was a bunch of them. So I guess if you reduce the number, but what I was going to get at is that you talk to them about it and institute a fairly callous system of dealing with things. If people can't pay attention, or, if they're not always paying attention and they make a move and it's like, okay, well, you walked into that guy's aura of fire. If it happens right then and there, then let it take it back. That's fine. But if something happens And then two moves later, you're like, I hack at you in the face. And it's like, well, I didn't realize the guy had a melee attack. It's like, well, he took a melee attack earlier. You weren't paying attention. We'll chuck it up to the fog of war. Let's move on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
All right. Sean says, Dear Stephen, Matt, D&D, Brian, Rodrigo, and Rob, thank you for taking this email. My name is Sean, and I am from Washington, D.C. I've been listening to Critical Hit for about 2 months and have caught up with the present. I played D&D at my high school for my last 2 years there, starting around 2007. While I was there, the other kids and I would use calculators' random integer function, which did exactly what it says. It gave a random number and a range of our choosing. A d20 would look like random parentheses 1 comma 20 close parentheses on a calculator. It would give us a random number from 1 to 20. Not everyone had money to buy dice, and anyone in a high math class had a calculator capable of the function. My DM would even use it if he didn't have his. What are your feelings from older people who have money for dice on this?
Money?
First of all,
as ancient people.
Being old does not mean you have money. The oldest person here probably, has the most money. But that's not the point. I would say that's fairly brilliant. That's really ingenious when you think about, taking something that everyone already has.
Yeah.
But from the perspective, for me, it's really the exact same thing. It's the same as a die. And I think dice are, to some degree, dice are one of the things about the game that I feel the least attached to. And I'm the guy who spent the last 3 hours complaining about the fact that they move my stats from one side of the sheet to the other. I would give up dice and go, fully digital if it were something that were A, possible, B, reliable, and C, universal. So I think that's just a brilliant idea, and you and your friends should be commended for, using what they have, what you already have available.
Mm-hmm. I would say, talk with your group people, and Sean is going away to college or community college and wants to know if this is acceptable or not, since he's probably not going to have as much money in school. But, if you have an iPhone or an Android, you might look in your app store and see if they have dice rollers, because on the iPhone, the iPad, the iPod, there are a ton of dice apps that
that you can should be leery of. Any I would be leery of that simply from app. The hack factor.
Oh, no. If it's a random number, and it's just using a random number generator to generate the what die comes up, dice side comes up, then shouldn't be a problem. Rodrigo, you, at one point, I think way early, we were talking about using it, but you said no.
Yeah.
Is that right?
I prefer using dice, and there's kind of a fairly complex explanation to it. I would never think that any of you guys were cheating, but I usually make my groups use dice just so that there's never even the temptation, so that I'm not like, I don't trust Steven, so he has to use dice, but I trust Rob, so he can use his calculator. So I usually just apply a full draconian rule completely across the board.
It's because he actually doesn't trust any of us.
And that's a little bit of it.
There's a damn good reason not to trust any of us.
That's right.
He lets you roll from, a couple hundred miles away.
That's true. But that's a pitfall of the game. If he was here, I'd totally still make him roll. Because everybody gets the same treatment as far as I'm concerned. If you don't have the money, then I can't tell you, no, you can't play D&D unless you have the money. That's terrible. If you go away to college and there's a jerk like me who won't let you roll, chances are that jerk is actually just going to lend you some dice for the session.
Yep.
So you'll probably be okay.
If not, he's a big enough jerk, I say get away from him.
Don't play with
I would
that.
Agree. If somebody's like, no, and I'm not going to help you, and I'm not going to tell you nothing, and you're stupid, get a new group.
Honestly, I just enjoy dice. They are a tactile, fun part of it that I think, I don't know, it just adds part of the fun to me, actually rolling the physical dice.
Yep. And, in D&D, usually you roll 1, 2, up to 4, maybe, dice at a time. There are other games that require you to roll masses of dice, and that's a lot more fun. Yeah. That just feels fun when you're doing it, and then, the spread of dice all over the place.
20
that,
dice in your hand.
And most likely, with the calculator, I'm just going to go ahead and say it because I'm a geek like that. With the random number generators, there it is, probably a low degree one where there is, statistically, it is not truly random. Right. It is a predictable result after a big enough size sample for the purpose of gaming, it's not really relevant.
Yeah, and
it
there was actually something in one of the early calculators that Apple put out for the iPod that actually did have an error in its in its numbering and its math. So, you know, you do have to be cautious of that anytime you're using any kind of an electronic device.
Physical dice can have that happen too. I had, you know, I had a one, I had a six-sided die that would roll 1 through 3 almost exclusively. And I had no idea why, you know, whether the die was damaged or there was something going on. But literally, you could count on that green 6 always rolling lower than a 4.
Yeah.
Which is good when you needed to roll lower than a 4.
We had a D8 that did that for a while, rolled nothing but 1s and 2s. So our friend threw it across the room because he got tired of it rolling 1s and 2s. It cracked and was perfectly balanced after that. But yeah, I don't like random number generators because they don't like me.
Well, by that logic, you wouldn't like any of your playmates either.
Precisely.
All right, Christopher Wright writes in and says, "Hello, everybody. I have to, this is a rather long, so I'm going to shorten it up. I have to compliment Rodrigo for his superior imagination and stellar storyline. I really like all of
from Blake 7.
I really like all of Matthew's references." Main point of this email is to ask if any of you have seen a movie called Gamers, Dorkness Rises.
Yes.
Okay, tell us about that.
It's a pretty fun one. It's made by this comedy improv group called Dead Gentlemen. Dorkness Rising. It is a sequel to one that they made previously. The second one is better in both production value and just overall, like, story-wise. It's a pretty entertaining, if silly, movie where it has people sitting around gaming and going, actually showing the fantasy world as well in the movie. There's been a review, at least, of the first one on Major Spoilers some time ago. I don't remember if we did get around to doing the second one, but yeah. It's a fun, silly movie made on the cheap.
Okay. Here's an example. I don't want to put anybody down, but here's an example of an email not to send in. Hi, guys. I just jumped in to, and this was back in May, so he's person's got to be within the last 5 or 6 episodes. I just jumped in, and I don't understand a few things. What's the story so far? What are the character classes and races? And could you answer these questions? I really appreciate it. Thank you.
Go back to the first episode.
There you go.
Exactly.
It's all there. It's all free. And enjoy yourself.
Which is a class and not a race, because we're playing first edition, old school Dungeons and Dragons.
The classes are magician, thief, elf, and dwarf.
Right.
And you're not allowed
to
play a person
of the opposite gender.
Because you're supposed, you know, it's funny. A lot of people, we do get a lot of those kinds of questions that come in, like, "Oh, what's going to happen next? I don't know. Don't ask us." You know,
it is not out of maliciousness or hatefulness that don't answer that question.
Right.
It's mostly out of, you know, the fact that if you want to know the answers, and the honest answer is you will get a better sense of it all from actually listening to the old podcast than you will from us. Because for me, I seem to remember something about jumping out a window and then Smith exploded and now it's May of 2011, the end.
I mean, if you really want kind of a summary, you can go to like iTunes or the Major Spoilers site. And look at all the descriptions for all the episodes.
Some of them are kind of vague.
Some of them are vague, but usually within 3 episodes, something will reference what the vagueness was about, because we don't want to spoil the episode ahead of time.
Right.
But if you specifically want to get the spoilers added,
there's also, I think, isn't there a TV Tropes page?
There is a TV.
Yes, there is a TV Tropes page. .org does have a critical hit page. There are some spoilers there, but the spoilers are generally hidden, so you have to highlight them to see them. The one thing to note is it is an open wiki.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So, you know, there is going to be some opinion in there, but I think that will help as well.
There are a couple errors in it that I've caught, but nothing major.
Yeah.
Also, TV Tropes doesn't so much give a summary as just the general tropes that
show up,
or at least what they classify.
There was at one point a wiki page, but some snooty person said, "Well, there are not enough references to tell us where this information came from." Delete.
Not enough relevance.
Yeah.
Notability is always an issue on the wiki. I mean, my personal page I have to put up every 2 weeks.
All right, finally, here's a question from Harry. "Hey, guys, I'm down here in Australia wondering where your DM got all his information and lore about the gods in D&D 4th edition. Did you make it up, or do you have a book, or what?"
I made it up. Former.
Yeah. I'll take this opportunity on a show 101
Yeah, somewhere around there.
To, 101, to 102, tell you guys something like a super duper secret about my choice of gods. Originally, I was going to just make up my own gods.
Right.
But if you if you've read the article that I put up after the first arc, Steven got, you know, the reason why Critical Hit even happened is because Steven got really excited about D&D 4th edition.
Yeah, it did.
Went out, made a character, we're playing this, we're doing this, we're totally doing this. And in part of his description was the inclusion of worshipping Corellon. And what I liked about it was that he worshipped Corellon sort of in name only, but the other people around him. So I was like, well, Steven's already attached to this. I'm just going to use the D&D gods. And then proceeded to basically take the most basic descriptions of them and make up the rest. So the gods that you see in Critical Hit are not going to be the gods as described.
Although I love how Rodrigo portrays the gods.
Rodrigo playing the Council of Gods,
yes.
the Pentathlon or whatever. That was truly, that was like his crowning moment of awesome.
Actually, I think the Dream Podcasts have been the most fun so far. Those have just been,
no,
I know
those
they
angered me.
Drove some of you up the wall, but I just loved them every minute of that, so... All right, we've got a few more minutes. We're past 100 episodes. Do you guys want to reflect on some of your favorite moments from the top 100?
Oh, boy.
Or the last 100?
I have three favorite moments.
Okay.
That I think really have to be name-checked. Orym getting drunk for the first time.
Yes.
And the Orym-Tork interaction there was actually fun because it was weird to see Torque at the beginning because it felt like Torque was being kind of malicious. And as it went on, it turned into this weird kind of buddy comedy where it was like Riggs and Murtaugh. I really love that bit. Rob's death scene at the end of season 2 was phenomenal. I have to definitely give props to Rob on that because, you know, when a character goes, even if they go huge, sometimes it's just kind of like, oh, well, I'm going to roll up a new guy. Rob sold Smith's death. And that, I mean, that's one of the most difficult things to do in any of it. And then, of course, you have to, you know, I don't know if this moment actually made it on the air. But the moment where somebody asked Rodrigo if he was going to role play the NPCs and his response about Thony. Can I tell that story, Rodrigo?
Yeah, sure, go ahead.
Okay, so I think it was actually in a show, but someone was like, are you going to roleplay the NPCs? And Rodrigo
was
like...
I think what it was that... And this makes sense when you see it, the whole context of it, is that I had recently... You guys had fairly recently fought that blonde guy in Gendras. Yes. Mm-hmm. And then when you guys ended up in Tuberville, you fought those demons.
Mm-hmm.
And when you got the demon cornered, he kind of spoke like a normal kind of polite gentleman, and the reason for that is that he's a demon. He's lawful, like he's a polite monster.
Right.
But somebody saw that and basically said, "Oh, I like how Rodrigo basically doesn't roleplay his NPCs."
Oh. To which Rodrigo responded, "Yeah, because I haven't been talking like the goddamn king of town for the last 6 weeks." Love that moment. That's my favorite Critical Hit moment ever, right there.
For me, there are a couple of them. Obviously, the dream episodes. I just love those. If I had to say my top moment, that would be one of the top moments of gameplay because it was so much fun.
It's so hateful.
Yes, I know, but it's also so much fun.
Steven hasn't played enough games that involve other people, but I think he's kind of fundamentally a griefer. So he probably enjoys that from that aspect.
Yeah. I like the Ket Orym trying to scam a hotel room.
Oh my god, that was awesome.
That was great.
And then I, you know, as far as game mechanics go, as far as, you know, talking and discussing about the game, it's the battle in the tower with the skeletons where we had to spend, and I know it pissed everybody off, but where we had to spend like 3 weeks deciding, are you going to run, discussing what happens when you kill a character, because I think that that's, you know, an important part of the gameplay, and then the resolution the week after when we found out that everybody wasn't dead, and that was, you know, I like that as well, just from both storytelling, keeping people in suspense, and then also making it part of the learning the game, I thought was really fun. So,
yep.
Those are my top three moments. Rob,
The skeletons in the tower.
Yes,
for basically the same reason that Steven likes the dream sequences, I can be a bit of a griefer. And the fact that that was just sheer torture on Steven for making the decision
was beautiful.
It was.
I mean, I wish people could see some of the things that happen after gameplay. You know, that was one of the ones where I was just like, for weeks, I was like, Rodrigo, are you sure that what happens if I run?
That episode came in a recording break. That was the last episode of recording session, and the next Tuesday night, we literally spent 45 minutes running up to the regular MSP with Steven going, man, this sucks!
And like, Chata was...
I was bugging her about it for about a week or something like that.
It was a great moment. I mean, I enjoyed that as well, because there was that whole time between sessions when we're like... I mean... Steven did let Rodrigo know what his idea or what he was going to do after that recording session.
That's because I forced him to.
Exactly. Yeah. And so, I mean, we knew that he was going to run, but we didn't know what that meant for us as the players. Like, do we need to make new characters? What's going on here? It was just a great time of just, oh boy, what's going to happen now?
Yeah, it's kind of dread. Other than that, Smith's entrance was one of my favorite moments. Too. Just the opening thing of, I'm going to scorch Torque. Wait a minute. This doesn't seem right. I enjoyed just coming in there and then actually getting to do some character growth with Smith, which isn't something I've done a lot with some of my characters. Like, I tend to come in completely concepted. Sorry, I didn't hear that one.
That kind of character growth really tends to be rare in D&D in my experience, so that was fascinating.
And then, I don't know, I think Glaw, just because I thoroughly enjoy how Glaw is supposed to work, and I'm actually playing my favorite class, and my favorite role, and just being Glaw in general is fun.
Brian?
One that comes to mind right now is when we're on the moon, and we ran into the Lunar Elves, and...
Oh, that turned out well.
Yes. Torque's immediate reaction is, oh, they're threatening with spears. I attack them all.
Dude, 8 people with spears. What else am I going to do?
Drop your weapon.
Do what we did with the pirate ghosts. It's like, okay, we surrender.
You know, there have been a lot of really good...
3.5 hours of
There have been some really good moments where Rodrigo really surprises us. You know, I mean, every time is a surprise. But the first time that we did How the Other Half Live, where we got to actually play, you know, other classes that we had been kind of jumping on about, I thought was kind of fun. Or at least the first time with the other half, it was see how the other people
in
your party
that's
play.
Where the phrase comes from, is I wanted you guys to see how the other half lived that, you know, Steven was a melee guy and Matthew was a shooty guy.
And playing R5-D4 was a lot of fun.
Yep. Anything else that you remember, Brian, that's a big favorite moment of the show?
I think we mentioned a lot of them. I mean, just finishing off...
No, I don't.
Finishing off the, you know, the second season with the death of Smith was just very poignant, and like the big cliffhanger put on that, too.
Rodrigo?
I think what I've probably... You know, there have been a lot of great moments, but I think probably what I've enjoyed the most personally as the game master is riffing on the stuff that you guys give me. Because I can sit here and create a world that is totally awesome to me, but then when you guys respond to it and then I can work on those responses, that's really what makes the game for me. You know,
and then he can go home and do his, you know, gem crossover Doctor Who fanfic.
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, I mean, for example, the whole haggling thing, I had an idea for the NPC of Valdrin Darkmist, I believe, but I was like, I don't think I'm ever going to get a chance to introduce this guy. And then, of course, you guys just on your own, without me really prompting you or anything, gave me a huge ability to introduce him. You know, the plan to get rid of the Void Gods is essentially you guys' idea. The reason why the second half of the game is happening is you guys' idea. Even the stuff that you guys have specifically not done has given me ideas. The only reason kind of why this game is happening the way that it is because none of you pitched the cleric. If you had, then this would have never happened.
Right,
the game
right.
would be different.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. All right, well, there you go, everybody. There are some of our favorite moments from the last 100 episodes. Hopefully you have some. Count.
Get away from my weasel stand!
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah, even some of the titles I've enjoyed.
Around my weasel stand.
Some of the titles I've enjoyed doing. Yes. You know, you may think it's funny, but it's not. You know, yeah, that was great for the two reveal one.
And, of course, there's always here in the trees we make do.
Yes. That is a great line. I love that one. Doesn't.
I forget
That's
about
one
that.
Of my favorite ones.
Yeah.
Especially because it caught everybody so off guard.
Yes.
I didn't even figure out what the joke was until like a month later. Like, I thought that he was talking DEW.
Yeah, yeah.
So.
He's got a still for Mountain Dew.
These guys got a whole new laugh out of it like a whole month later.
I think it was longer than a month, maybe.
It was.
Probably.
Pretty, it was a good time.
Because we were actually rallying pretty regularly.
Yep. All right, everybody. Thank you so much for listening this week. We will be back next week. And don't forget, depending on when this is released, June 17th, 2011 in Salt Lake City, Utah is Nerdtacular 2011. Most of us will be there at that event. So you can check us out. Or if you are going to be there already, you can see us around, say hi, punch us in the face. Well, maybe not punch us in the face, but certainly
Scott
say hi
Johnson
to us.
Johnson will not abide. He will not have violence in his kingdom.
That's right.
He runs Salt Lake City.
Right, and so we're looking forward to that, and we'll be back next week to see if we can get some cool stuff out of the captain's quarters. Oh, I guess I better end it like we've been ending the last 100 and some episodes. Here's hoping all your dice rolls are critical hits.
Visit frogpants.com. Audio program so good, it's like you're there.